Welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor, your host. Today on the program, we are going to be talking further about the great career of Ramsey Clark and his contribution to so many causes. And we'll be talking, of course, the issues that Ramsey was engaged with are very much with us, and so we all have to shoulder our responsibilities and try to carry on in his memory and also with his wisdom and experience. People looking to know, ask themselves how they ought to conduct themselves in the world, particularly if we live in the Western imperialist world. What are our responsibilities? You can't find a better guide than Ramsey Clark. Later in the show, by the way, we will be speaking to Tony Leah, who's the Political Action Committee Chair at Oshawa GM Local. And we're going to talk about some matters that are very important to the labor movement. Well, just to tell everybody, the International Action Center has held a memorial Sunday afternoon, 2 o'clock, June 13, remembering Ramsey and hearing from many voices all over the world. Ramsey had interacted with so many people in Nicaragua, Panama, Iraq. The list goes on and on. And it was a great meeting. I'm very pleased that they did this. Sarah Flounders did a great job. It was wonderful to see the sister of Ramsey Clark remembering him. And of course, the number of voices that were there and speaking up, Danny Glover was one of those who talked about Ramsey, and Alice Walker. You can go to their site, International Action Center, and the memorial itself will be available, but also on their page, there are statements and historical items and just a wonderful, touching collection of dating and underlining the significant struggles engaged in by Ramsey Clark and the International Action Center, of which he was the principal founder. In relation to it, I should mention that, you know, this is Indigenous June is Indigenous History or Memory Month, and Ramsey Clark championed many causes to do with the Indigenous struggle against the colonial settlers, which goes on to this day, as we know, very dramatically know. And one of the causes he championed, I think Canadians could really think about hard, that is the case of Leonard Peltier. Leonard Peltier remains in a maximum security prison in the United States, an Indigenous leader, member of the American Indian Movement. And Canada is involved in his case. I ask you to review it. Incidentally, I would review the writing and legal steps taken by Ramsey Clark on behalf of Leonard Peltier to understand the story. I don't intend to go into it other than to say it is very dubious. Charges were brought about against him, against Leonard Peltier, for an incident, Pine Ridge in Dakotas. Leonard Peltier was arrested in Alberta, and Indigenous leaders of Canada spoke up for him. If you don't know, Nelson Mandela spoke up for him. They've all tried to urge, I shouldn't say tried, they vigorously urged the American government to, at minimum, show compassion to an Indigenous leader who was a part of a movement which helped move the needle forward in terms of recognition of indigenous rights and the historical evidence of violence and repression over centuries occurred in America. And Leonard Peltier was arrested in Canada, and the U.S. sought his extradition. He was arrested in December, and they extradited him in December, January, February. So they weren't playing around. And it's the same when we talk about repression against indigenous people. It's very easy to just simply say, what is going on today went on then. What went on then is going on today. The great leader, one of the Lakota leaders, Sitting Bull, was captured, was permitted to enter Canada, but under U.S. pressure, he was driven out. And I remember reading an RCMP, I don't know if they were called that at the time, they were the mounted something, bragging to how he had physically mistreated Sitting Bull. Sitting Bull was later murdered, cold blood, came to his home at night and called him out. And before anybody could settle what it was about, those who were supposed to arrest him murdered him. Just as they had done to Crazy Horse years earlier. So this is a pattern. And Canada was involved in the one with Sitting Bull, and they were involved with Peltier. Both ending, well, it's not over. Leonard Peltier is with us, and he should be released. And Canadians should be championing him, because the Attorney General of the time, I believe he was Attorney General, a high-ranking cabinet minister, said he was ashamed of what they did to Leonard Peltier, because he had been promised this and that, rights protected and things that never happened. They also, the basis of the transfer was a shoddy witness statement, which was later repudiated. At which time Canada should have said, well, return him, because we turned him over to you in good faith. That would involve Canada having to think of itself as a sovereign country with a backbone, with a leadership, and with principles and morality, and a recognition that Leonard represented oppressed people who supported him, respected him. But the respect of his own people doesn't count for anything with the white rulers who are in power now. But Ramsey Clark was involved in that case, and whenever we spoke to him, the name came up. That issue came up of how he was improperly transferred, which tends to be a habit. And at this moment, in history, with the discovery of the mass grave, where little children from residential schools have no identified, to my knowledge, nobody's ever identified them yet, and clarified who they were. They were certainly disposed of in a reprehensible way. And we have a lot to answer for. We could help by saying, and you mistreated, disrespected indigenous people of Canada, and you mistreated and delivered Leonard Peltier into the hands of, frankly, of police authorities who were looking for revenge. American movie actor, name won't come to me, maybe it will later, but spoke up for Leonard Peltier, befriended Leonard Peltier, and I remember him, this actor, saying, he approached Bill Clinton when Clinton was running for president, and he said, I want Leonard Peltier to be released. He has been mistreated. He should not be in prison. He's an exemplary person. has done served his people, and he and Clinton said, if he's elected president, he would pardon Leonard Peltier. He promised. He didn't do it. He went through two terms, and his terms ended, and they said, well, is Bill Clinton going to pardon Leonard Peltier? No. He did pardon one individual who was an oligarch, an American oligarch, and had been stealing and had even renounced his American citizenship, gone to Europe in order to escape justice. And somehow or another, Bill Clinton was moved to pardon him. Leonard Peltier, no. It's, in a way, it tells you, you know, people like to use the expression deep state. What's Bill Clinton afraid of? If that's the situation where he makes a solid promise and even addressed the subject a few times, says he's going to do something, and then he doesn't, it tells you that he doesn't really have a lot of power. It's when you talk about people in office, you should probably be looking, trying to fill in the background. Who has power? Who can make him stand up and sit down and do their wishes and let a skunk out who couldn't care less about anybody and laughed at the American government and went overseas, gives him a pardon. Leonard Peltier remains in a federal penitentiary. And Canada had a role. They were asked, and they were shown one flimsy, lousy document, and said, "Okay, you can have it." The same way they did with Sitting Bull. So, I'm tying this in with the great Ramsey Clark, who championed Leonard Peltier, and he also championed another figure. And in the archives of the Taylor Report, I promise we'll run this. We'll have to. Out. Ramsey Clark made the argument, and he spent almost, I think, an hour with us talking about the case of Geronimo. Geronimo is in a POW cemetery in Fort Sill, Oklahoma. And members of his family made the argument in his name, and also in terms of the agreement struck between Geronimo and his captors. Geronimo is certainly a magical name in our history and in the history of indigenous people. He fought the government of Mexico, he fought the government of the United States over a period of 30, 40 years. And they captured him a few times and he escaped. And eventually they captured him and he was put in Fort Sill. But they agreed that when he died, his remains would be returned to the area of New Mexico, Arizona, somewhere next near the Mexican border, I believe, and where so he could be among his ancestors. But the U.S. reneged on that, and he remains in a grave, and it's a prisoner of war. POW camp, basically. And Ramsey represented members of the family who wanted to that agreement to be honored. That was a wonderful struggle, one of the last great cases he fought. I think it was very appropriate and touching. And Ramsey Clark fought the case for Geronimo. And believe me, that Geronimo case involves a lot of elements that America, that they don't want to think about, the white rulers of America. As listeners may know, there's a thing called the Cross and Bone Society, Yale University, and they have a skull in the Cross and Bone Society, Yale, part of their little initiation. George Bush, Bill Clinton, and some other important guys whose name I can't think of, went to Yale and are very proud to be a Skull and Bone secret society, upper class people. There is an allegation never properly investigated that the skull belongs to Geronimo. And, you know, a few graves have been dug up and bodies examined. Incidentally, in history, sometimes they've dug up famous people and found out they weren't there. But in this case, that would have been one of the problems people assume. Unfortunately, the case was undermined by a family feud or a dispute over whether or not the family wished to have Geronimo, which is it. Believe we got to definitely have to play our interview with Ramsey Clark and talking about his client, the heirs of Geronimo, and his desire to remove him from a POW camp cemetery. Because this ugliness that we experienced in British Columbia, this one of those little lightning flashes that suddenly people see everything for about 5 seconds and then it disappears. Well, this lightning flash gives us pause to think about all the lies. And it's not just the statues, it's all the stupid discussions. And it's modern times, because at the bottom of it, you always find people who rationalize all of it. We on the Taylor Report had talked about the fact that there's a mass grave of the indigenous soldiers, I would call them, or those who were attacked by the RCMP or the British Canadian Army at the time of the Riel Rebellion. We have talked about it. Louis Riel was a leader of the Métis. Louis Riel was hanged, so were they. And their names, the only one I can think of at the top of my head is Wandering Spirit. They were given a one-day trial in which they didn't know what was going on, in which they were treated shabbily, and they were hanged en masse. I can't tell you the number. I think it was 12, might be higher. Then they were put in an unmarked grave. Now, finally, there is a flat marker there with their names. But that isn't going to get it, in my view. That was a serious political crime that needs to be underlined, because it was, the idea was that some great service had been done. And all the white judges and all the generals and all the politicians were proud of themselves. I'm talking about contemporary history, the discovery of the mass grave, or I shouldn't say the discovery, the noticing of it. And you think that, I would tell you this, hatred is palpable. I know it's true in the Southwest. Hatred, racial hatred, behind a lot of these pious people, say they're doing good deeds. The last thing I want, on the matter of the 215 in the residential schools, of course, the name Stanley Ryerson has come up. I mean, you know, pardon me, Stanley Ryerson is a historian, grandson of Edgerton Ryerson. Read Stanley, you'll understand Edgerton. He's, okay, put him on the list. But he isn't the biggest player at all. You know what he was? And keep it in mind, because they're gonna get together. They're gonna be reports. So keep in mind that the Prime Minister of the time and the Governor General, the King's representative, the Queen, I don't know which it was, probably both, were experts. They said, should we do that? Well, the experts say, you got to be careful about experts. If you were to look back, they'd say, hey, we only did what the experts told us. And that's what the expert told them to do. let's see, let's do something genocidal. That's a good idea. That's roughly what happened. And no, we haven't gotten out from under the shadow. Now, this is CIUT. We've been talking about Ramsey Clark and the struggle of the indigenous people. I want to say that also in the show, we're going to replay a brief talk that I gave as former investigator for Ramsey Clark to the memorial of the International Action Center, and that'll be played at our break. This is CIUT 89.5 FM, the Taylor Report. We're going to play the talk that I gave that was part of the program at the International Action Center, and then we'll be back with more. Ramsey Clark was such a great individual and a great fighter and involved in so many struggles around the world in every corner of the globe. I can testify to that because I traveled through airports with him and people would come up and thank him. Just say, Mr. Clark, I appreciate all that you've done. I think we could study the life and work of Ramsey and understand modern history, and we'd be wise to do it and to go and do likewise, as a matter of fact. Ramsey was opposed to the ad hoc courts were set up in Yugoslavia and Rwanda, and I worked as an investigator for him. And I can recall the first days when I was in Arusha, Tanzania, and it was tough going and not a lot of sympathy for the African accused. And in the middle of the night, I got a phone call and there was that great voice. And it said, hey partner, what can I do to help you out? And it was like a wonderful moment because I knew that Ramsey was looking after us and had a plan. And so I said to him, you know, we need a mission statement. And he said, you got it, and hung up. The next day, we had a mission statement. And not long after that, Ramsey came to Arusha, Tanzania, and he brought with him the great Ed Medveen, a Philadelphia lawyer for real. And of course, his wife, Ramsey's wife, Georgia, and she was there like a cheerleader and kept our spirits up. Ramsey fought brilliantly in court. And I can't tell you how important it is that he did that work and did expose the fact that those ad hoc tribunals were victors' tribunals. In the mission statement he sent us, the title was, "The Tribunal is a War by Other Means." Anyway, I can tell you that I learned a little lesson too, traveling with him. I heard a student ask him, what should I do with my life, literally? And he said, exhaust yourself in the pursuit of a good cause. And that was Ramsey to a T.